everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
Welcome, everybody. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
So right after we connected on our phone call, Brian and I did our little back and forth just saying, what's up? Brian says to me he wants to talk a little football, and then he starts talking about the World Cup. He's talking about the wrong football. So what do you got to tell us about football?
But yes, I am excited about the World Cup. The World Cup starts this week, and I am pumped up about it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome summer filler thing until training camp starts, and then we get into American football, which is, in my opinion, the best football.
It's the right football.
Yes, sir. So, but yeah, so that's coming up.
That does not excite me whatsoever. Just putting that out there. All right, so let's get... All right, the news isn't very exciting, but it's the right football to talk about. First things first, Julian Edelman is facing a 4-game suspension for PED use. Apparently, you did not actually need to be playing to be using performance-enhancing drugs. I didn't realize that. But Edelman was hurt all last year. I didn't read when he was busted for this, but... You know, he apologized already, so I guess it happened. 4 games, he's 30-ish, right?
Yeah, I think he's at least 30.
All right, so Dynasty Outlook, what are you doing with Julian Edelman? But really, more importantly, who below him do you care about?
Yeah, so that's the easy part of this, is who below him I care about. And it's Chris Hogan, 100%. I would say Chris Hogan, I mean, you know, look, Julian Edelman has been a fantastic player for the New England Patriots. He's been a guy that Tom Brady's been able to rely on for years. But, I mean, he was out all last year, and they almost won the Super Bowl again. And Chris Hogan, I mean, that guy, I didn't even know that Edelman was out. I mean, the guy's almost a carbon copy of what Julian Edelman does. So I really like Hogan. I think this gives him a really nice bump as far as dynasty value goes. At the same time, Edelman, you know, he's actually 32. I just looked it up. 32 years old already. So, you know, we'll see what happens with this. But this could be the beginning of the end for Edelman, potentially. We'll see how he returns off of the injury. You know, he's going to get an extra 4 weeks, I guess, to heal. Not that he necessarily needs it, but yeah, I'm kind of a little bit, I'm not really looking at Edelman in drafts, at the moment. And it's not about the 4 games for me. It's more about the fact that he was injured as a 31-year-old wide receiver. You know, that concerns me a little bit more, I think, than the PED stuff. It doesn't surprise me because Patriots are cheaters, but I'm a Steelers fan. I have to say it.
Throw it in there, buddy.
No offense to all my Pats.
No offense, offense given.
I think the other guy that's going to benefit from this is Jordan Matthews.
That's where I was going.
Yeah,
I was going to say I want Jordan Matthews to just crush the preseason so we can get that hype train going again. Like I want everyone going nuts for Jordan Matthews, especially now that there's been, a good solid 2 years of Jordan Matthews hate going on.
Right.
That I think it would be hilarious for the Jordan Matthews train to come back into town. And I would jump right on it because I bought a bunch of him right before he signed with the Patriots.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I heard somebody on Twitter or saw somebody on Twitter comparing Jordan Matthews. They think that Jordan Matthews might be this year's Robert Woods. And I don't remember who it was. And I apologize
I think
to
I
that
saw
person.
That too. Yeah.
But I could definitely see that. I mean, I could see a renaissance in his career here. I mean, he's never played, obviously, with a quarterback like Tom Brady. So there's always that. But yeah, I mean, I could definitely see Matthews, you know, benefiting from this suspension to Edelman as well. So we'll see what happens with all of this stuff in New England. I mean, it's always hard to buy into New England players, I think, on the offensive side of the football outside of
yes.
Brady and Gronk, just because you never know how the heck Bill Belichick's going to use them. But But yeah, I think this gives those guys a little bit of a bump. And, you know, when Edelman comes back, I mean, I think he will play, but I don't know that he's going to be as featured in that offense as he has been in the past. So,
yeah, I think honestly, I would take a cheap shot for Edelman because there's always the chance he comes back and there's always the chance that Gronk gets hurt. And whenever Gronk gets hurt, Edelman just eats. So if I can get him cheap, even in redraft, because he'll definitely drop in redraft because 4 games is a lot.
Sure.
So if I can get him cheap and get that late season push when he, you know, takes those 2 games to actually get back into rhythm and then just starts driving the end of the year, I think that's a good plan. And, you know, if I don't know if you're getting him cheap in Dynasty, even though he's 32 and hurt and suspended, I think people are just too stubborn to give up on him. I think the real move is to take a shotgun shot at the lower guys. You know, try and grab any of Chris Hogan, Jordan Matthews. I've always loved Malcolm Mitchell. I want him to be a thing. Sony Michel isn't a cheap shot, but Rex Burkhead, anyone that has hands and could catch a pass
right
on the Patriots is worth a shot at this point, because who knows? I mean,
Braxton Berrios, dude.
I was avoiding that because that's like that's like a buzzword these days. Like
it is.
Braxton Berrios. What? Braxton? I heard. Did someone say Braxton Berrios?
It is.
Yeah. Anyone you can get your hands on is worth a shot. Anyone you can sell is also worth a shot.
I agree.
Like you said, I'll never try and predict what Bill Belichick is gonna do. So I don't think there's any right way to handle this. So do whatever makes you happy and whatever gains value to your team. We're going to talk about this next thing real quick.
Kareem Hunt punched a guy.
He was not arrested. I don't even think anything was actually filed against him. There's just confirmation of an incident happening.
Yeah, the reason this is news is because you just never know what kind of law enforcement Mr. Goodell is going to impose.
All right, so... Mr. Hashtag Always Odell 101, that you have as your third overall, which is just wrong, is your third overall because he proposes to kicking nets and had a unfortunate video with pizzas and
Coke,
powdered laundry detergent.
Coke.
So does Kareem Hunt punching a guy affect his value in your rankings at all?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think yet, just because, you know, this is the first incident that concerns me with him whatsoever. So I'd like to hear a little bit more. I mean, charges were already not brought at all. I mean, it wasn't like he had charges brought and then they were dropped if there was no charges. I am concerned because I don't know what the heck Roger Goodell. I mean, if he has an opportunity to do any type of league discipline, he usually leans in that direction. So that does concern me slightly. But no, it doesn't. It probably doesn't drop him yet. Now, if something comes out that, you know, the NFL is investigating Hunt, you know, yeah, maybe a spot or two. Probably not real drastic, but yeah, I mean, it might affect the way I see him. You know, maybe he moves from. And I forget exactly where I have him, but maybe he moves from 14th overall to 16th overall or something like that. So,
right, so we're not saying go buy Spencer Ware at all costs?
Nah. Nah.
All right, I just wanted to bring that up just to say that Kareem Hunt punched a guy. So, all right, I'm going to take a step back and let you talk for a few minutes.
Yeah. So this is awesome. There was a video that came out today.
Was it a cat video?
It was not a cat video. There was a lot of hair involved. more of the beard variety. Andrew Luck is throwing a football to his teammates in minicamp. So I for one am extremely excited about this. I probably shouldn't be as excited as I am. Because, I mean, it didn't show him throwing the ball down the field 50 yards. It showed him throwing some checkdowns and some short dump off throws. So, But I, for one, am very excited about Andrew Luck throwing the football. And the fact that they allowed him to do so in front of the media, I think, is a good thing as well. I've been telling people on this show, and I'm not going into a I told you so, but I
Take
have
your
been
victory lap. It's okay.
No, not yet, because I'd still like to see him throw the ball down the field. I'd still like to hear reports that he's been throwing the ball for 6 weeks and has had no pain or setbacks. So there's definitely that out there, and that cloud is going to loom until we're able to watch him actually play in camp and in preseason, if he, you know, depending on how many snaps he takes there. But this for me is exciting. I'm big in on Luck. I've been trying to say go buy him, because this is as cheap as you're going to be able to find get this guy if he does return to form. I'm hoping he does. The league is better with him in form and healthy, in my opinion. So I'm very excited about this. Hopefully this is just the first video of him throwing, and we get subsequent videos that show him doing more and more. You know, I, for one, will be stoked about that. So Andrew Luck is throwing a football. I don't think there's any way to take that other than as good news. So.
Amen. All right. I'm glad you got that out. I'm glad, you know, one of your takes from this show is panning out a little bit, so it gives us a little bit of credibility.
or we're lucky, one or the two, but yeah, that's right. This is a take. I've hit on this one, maybe. So listen to us.
Yeah. All right, that's about all that happened this week. So let's talk about stuff.
Yeah, man.
The buy lows and sell highs.
Okay. All right, so now we're on to wide receivers. Steven, we've been letting you go first, so let's talk about Keelan Cole.
Yes, he was my buy low. And, you know, I liked him because when he got his opportunities, he really showed that he was man there. If you look, and if you go on playerprofiler.com and look at his college dominator, it's the 99th percentile. He had like a 60%, over 60% college dominator.
I didn't know that.
And I mean, his stats aren't anything. It's, I mean, when you look at it, he's not athletic or that, but he also, I think he skipped a lot of his drills. I compared him to Juju because they had similar production. Now, what I saw from Cole came at the end of the year, and Juju was throughout the season. But the only difference I saw were a few receptions, a few touchdowns, and then, of course, the catch percentage rate, I think, was way different, was way higher with Juju. But I guess if you have Blake Bortles thrown to you, I mean, he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger thrown to him.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with this, because who knows what's going on in Jacksonville right now. Every time I mention Jacksonville, it's the bog of wide receivers they have. I wish, again, I read so much stuff on Twitter, I wish I could remember who said what. But someone said that they wanted to start using the acronym BOG for bunch of guys, and I thought that was brilliant, because it goes along with JAG. So...
And but JAG is so much cooler of a word,
yeah,
dude. Especially when you add off at the end of it, JAG off. That's straight out of Pittsburgh, baby.
Dude.
Yinzer Nation.
This is a family show. Get your potty humor out of here.
JAG, hey, I will send you a video. I swear to God I'll do it. I will send you a video after this podcast that explains JAG off and how it's different from jack off, which is better. I'm telling you, I have this documented. I have this documented. This is a Pittsburgh thing, and I promise you it is factual information that Jagoff is not vulgar.
You can send that to me, and I will not watch it.
It is with a G. Dude, if you watch it, I swear you will laugh your behind off. It is the greatest thing ever. Okay, anyway.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, as I was saying before, I was so crudely and rudely interrupted. That
before you were interrupted by a jagoff,
dude. All right. So throwing me
six
off my game.
Baby.
Yeah, so Keelan Cole did awesome at the end of last year, like Steve was just saying. And I'm a Marquise Lee fan. I always kind of liked him, but he's not built for the NFL body-wise. He just can't stay on the field. And I think Keelan Cole is just as good as anyone else to be able to take that main role, because DJ Chark and Dede Westbrook, to me, they're deep guys. They're not really the more all-around player that Keelan Cole is. And buying him low is perfect, because there was a couple of times I tried to add him to a trade for, to me, that was value to the trade. And they was like, nah, man, I don't want a Jacksonville wide receiver. And made it seem like that he brought no value to this trade. It was just another wide receiver I was throwing in. So if you can find people that have him on their team just because they added him off the waiver wire last year, that you could probably still buy him for next to nothing. And just for the off chance that he becomes the guy in an offense, even if it's not a high-powered offense, that's still targets. And, you know, PPR is the right way to play fantasy football, which means that all you need is a couple of catches and he's a solid wide receiver three. And at the price you're going to pay for Keelan Cole, I think that's profit.
All right, so you ready for me to burst this bubble?
No, do it.
How many games did Keelan Cole have more than three catches last season?
Two.
Three?
It is three. And they were the three final games of the season.
Look, we just had a talk about small sample sizes and how we just don't care. Because we want things to turn out for their...
16 games now. He played 16 games, so the sample size is a little bit larger. So here's the deal, though. I agree. And I agree because of the price. I mean, if you're paying more than a fourth-round pick for this guy, I think you're paying too much.
I think is very reasonable.
I think you can probably get him, though, for a late third, early fourth. Easy.
Yeah, I'm going to start sending out some offers before. Well, I'm not going to post this for a while. But, yeah, I'm going to start going after Keelan Cole in every league then.
Yeah, and I think he has just as good a shot to end up being the wide receiver one in that offense as any of these other guys, so why not?
He's probably over there already sending trade offers to people.
Yeah, my computer's too slow. I don't want to risk screwing up the recorder. All right, my buy low, and to tie it in with our last episode of talking about our next year's free agents, is Randall Cobb. This has nothing to do with him being a free agent next year. It's the fact that I think people have it out of their minds how good he was with Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of last year before Rodgers got hurt. Every game the 2 to 3 games, he had, I believe it was 6 to 8 targets at least every single game, and he was catching touchdowns. And that's weirdly when he does well, is that one year where he caught like 14 touchdowns because he was the red zone target for some reason. But I think he will help you win titles this year. And then he'll get shipped off and be worth less. So he is a buy low and then sell high at the end of the year. But I feel like you could buy Randall Cobb for a late second at this point and be happy about it when the actual season is going on. Yes, Outhouse, that's so smart of you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot, Outhouse. I think that's, we talked about Cobb last week, and I'm with you on this one. I think he's due for a pretty big year this year with Jordy moving on. I assume he's going to play in the slot again, most part.
Well, that's the good thing about him is they move him everywhere. Like takes snaps out of the backfield.
Sure. Exactly. And, I think it's likely, as you said, I think it is likely that he moves on. We talked about that last week as well. And, I think for the money, I don't think Green Bay will keep him around. So unless he takes a significant pay cut. So I think, yeah, I think Cobb is due for a big year, and I think next year he'll be somewhere else, hopefully with an opportunity to continue putting up some numbers.
What about you, Steve? Do you have any feelings on Randall Cobb?
You know, at the beginning of the season, I was pretty low on him, but I think at the end of the season, I was pretty low on him. But I think with Jordy moving on and everything, he's looking a lot better over there. And I mean, who are they going to throw it to the end? Who are they going to throw the ball to in the end zone? Jimmy Graham?
That's all he could do right now.
No, I think Cobb's got a shot to be the guy there for a little while, and then, yeah, like you said, they're going to move on, and because he's going to want too much money.
Yeah, and I put that out there 2 seconds ago when I was talking about it. Sell him when that happens, because, I mean, he's young-ish for what he's been in the league forever, it feels, but he's only 27. But, I mean, if some team is silly enough to pay him wide receiver one money, I don't think that's who he is. So if that happens, you sell him high and you sell him fast, because I just don't think that's going to work out. All right, so this guy that Brian is about to talk about I think is super interesting, because there are some people who are already way too high on him to buy low. And then there's some people like me who feel so indifferent about him that they just sort of stay away. So tell me about Chris Godwin.
Yeah, I'm a big Chris Godwin fan, and I'm documented as so as of about March of this year. I was on another show and talked about him quite a bit. I love this guy. You know, DJ Moore is a guy that he comps to really well, or DJ Moore comps to Godwin really well. Their combine numbers are literally almost identical. I think Moore is a little bit more explosive than Godwin is, but Godwin is a lot stronger than DJ Moore. So I love this guy. I love Chris Godwin. In the final four games of the season, he was the wide receiver 15 with a Jameis Winston that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn at the end of the year last year. So, you know, I think if you take the four games at the end of the season where Godwin had an opportunity to start, I think one game was a Mike Evans suspension, and then the final three were where DeSean Jackson was out. If you project those stats over a full season, it's like 1,100 yards on 68 catches or something like that. Wow. And he scored, I think, 4 or 5 touchdowns in that span, too. So, you know, I really like Godwin. He's got good speed. He's got good strength. He catches the ball really well. He high points the ball very well. And that's something I saw in person going to his collegiate game. So
he's a Penn State guy, right?
He is a Penn State guy. And I am getting a little bit of a reputation on this show, so I'm going to have to watch that a little bit.
Oh, it's already happens. There's no fighting it. You might as well just lean into it.
But I am definitely a big Godwin fan. You know, here's the other thing. You know, a lot of people go to the, well, he's never going to be a wide receiver one because Mike Evans is the guy in that offense. I agree with that, but I don't need him to be a wide receiver one. I'm not drafting him in the top 20 of startup drafts, right? So, I mean, I believe he can be a wide receiver two. You know, and I know there are a lot of mouths to feed in that passing game. Especially in the red zone. Cameron Brate is a guy that Jameis Winston, for some reason, just keeps throwing the ball to. They have Howard there, too, who's talented. You know, they have Jones out of the backfield now. You know, D-Jax is still there. I don't think he's going to be there moving forward. They can cut him with zero dead money, I believe, after this year. And I believe they will, because Godwin's going to show this season what he showed at the end of last season. So I love Chris Godwin. I'm a big fan of his. If I own him, I am not selling him for less than a first round pick. If I'm buying him, I would buy him probably as high as the 109.
Wow.
110. Yeah, I'm a big Godwin guy. So I drafted him in late first round rookie drafts last season.
So,
and I've sat on him for you know, all of last year, and I'm a big fan. So
you're saying buying him at the 109 means you think he'll be worth more later on, or are you doing what I did with Alex Collins?
Yeah,
where you're
I'm
getting overexcited.
You yeah, yes, I'm just saying that's what I would pay for him. I think he's a guy right now, realistically, that you can get for a early to mid second, and I think that's a really good price. I would take him over any of the receivers in this class.
Any of them.
Any of them.
Wow. That's
bold.
Tell me.
That is fire emojis on Twitter. That's
okay.
What that is.
So I understand that from a pure you know, from a pure evaluation. Here's the
from
thing.
From a pure value standpoint, that is very wrong.
I would say, well, but is it? Because where Godwin was going last year in drafts, he was what, like wide receiver? There were a bunch of good ones last year that came out. So I think he was like wide receiver 5 maybe in rookie drafts last year. But I would take all those guys over any of the receivers in this class. Who's the top receiver in this class? DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. Who's his comp? Chris Godwin. Right?
Everybody says DJ Moore, but I think Christian Kirk's going to do better.
Okay, and that's fair. And I love Kirk, too. We've talked about that on the show ever since Brandon was on. We love Christian Kirk. And I think he can – he would be the one for me. I think that I would have a hard time – if I was on the clock and he was available, I might have a hard time moving that pick for Godwin. But I would take Godwin over Moore. Easy. Yeah, I'd take him over Sutton. I'd take him over Ridley. I'd take him over all those guys.
I fell hard into the Matt Harmon bump for the past like 2 years before this one with, you know, the beginning of Moncrief and Tyler Lockett. And he was big into Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin like destroyed reception perception, had like the best contested catch rate that he'd ever charted.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to Tampa and it's Tampa. I know you can't really base things off of, you know, current systems because the current system never really lasts for that long, but they just want to run the ball. That's what they always want to do. And then they have Mike Evans, who they just gave a truckload of money to, which means they're going to be funneling through him like they always do. And it's such a tough path to targets to want to have to, you know, put that much faith into Chris Godwin. So that's why I would take DJ Moore. I'd take Ridley. I'd take Kirk over.
But here's the thing. Where do you have to draft DJ Moore? He's a first round rookie pick, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He's going in the late 50s in ADP.
Okay.
Godwin's going 95th.
Okay, I'm sold. Yeah, you got me.
I mean that's, again, we're talking about value, right? And that's why I'm buying him low, because I think he can be every bit as good as those guys. He's going like,
who's he getting drafted around in startups?
Do you have it up? So I do. So James Washington is a rookie.
All right, so give me some not rookies. So
Michael Crabtree.
Godwin.
Josh Doctson.
All right, yeah, you Godwin. Really got me sold. Yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Mike Williams is going 20 picks ahead of him. Chargers.
That's weird.
Oh God.
And Kirk is about that same. He's about 20. He's about 20 or so. You know. So you're talking about a round and a half higher than Godwin. And I'm okay with that one. Like I said, Christian Kirk, I understand that one. He's the one that I would have trouble with out of this class. But like, you know, I mean, Sutton, Ridley, and Moore, all three of them are going, we're talking 35 picks, three full rounds before Chris Godwin. And I just don't see that. But again, that's why we do this thing, and that's why trades happen, because people value players differently. So
I like it. I now like,
always come back to that.
I now like Godwin. All right, you've changed me. I'm a changed man. All right, so let's go to something I disagree with when it comes to Steven Sellhei. Now, tell me why you have the wrong opinion that AJ Green is a Sellhei.
This is going to be the last time you are going to be able to get full value out of AJ Green. Okay, he is 30 years old, and he is one of those big-bodied receivers that just goes downhill real quick.
All right, so we're Calvin Johnson syndroming.
Yep.
All right, I can see that. But do you? Okay, here's my argument against that, because I think AJ Green is gonna ball out this year. I think
I don't disagree with you.
So again, you're Belichicking and selling a year early before it's a year too late, because you think any given thing could happen and he's gonna retire.
Well, not necessarily retire. I just think that it's time for him to start this declining.
Right. He'll hit the cliff if not retire, because. Right. Not everybody Calvin Johnson's, like, everyone got terrified when he did that. What would it take for you to sell him? What kind of pick are we talking this year?
Pick this year? It'd have to be a high first if I was going to sell him. I don't even know if that would be enough.
All right, so if I offered you, you know, the 102, you selling AJ Green for that?
No. Right, I think I'd still get more than the 102 out of him.
So Saquon, the 101 doesn't count this year because that's just
right.
Saquon. So so it'll take you a high first plus to get AJ Green.
Right.
See, that's interesting because that goes a little against, I guess, you know, Twitter and an old person. I mean, they're going to lose every poll just because Twitter hates old people, and 29 is old apparently, which I've been old since my early 20s, so it doesn't really matter. I think AJ is I wouldn't want to sell him. That's really what it comes down to. I get what you're saying and agree with your Patriots way of thinking, which I won't be happy about saying out loud, but I did. I bought AJ Green recently, and I feel good about it, especially because that team is competing. But I guess if you do have a team that you're not going for the championship this year, selling AJ Green is a very good idea. And because apparently you can get a lot of high picks for him. How do you feel, Brian, about AJ Green?
I would have a hard time passing on the 102. I love Green. He's one guy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, look at what Julio Jones is doing, right? And Green hasn't put up those numbers. And people hate Julio Jones. Like, I don't even think those two guys are close anymore based on the last couple of years.
Well, team also isn't super fair in that comparison.
I mean, you're right. And quarterback
AJ
isn't.
Green's still going to be on that team.
Yeah.
He is.
But
for his whole career. And Bolton's going to be throwing him the football.
I was really hoping they were going to draft Lamar Jackson. I really wanted them to draft Lamar Jackson.
I thought they were, too. I thought they might, but...
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's tough. I mean, if I own Green, like I said, I would consider the 102. I don't know, especially in Superflex. Again, you know, I mean, if we're talking Trade Addicts leagues...
Yeah, that's,
you know,
pretty much how
12 teams, Superflex, right. You know, I would have a hard... I think I would have a hard time because those picks are so valuable.
All right, so Baker or Rosen, you'd probably end up taking the quarterback.
I personally probably would, yes.
I know quarterback is king and all of that cheesy mumbo jumbo, but I think I'm with Steve on this one. If I think I could win, I'm holding on to him to the end of the season. I'll take a lower pick or lower valuation on him later for what I think he could do for me this year. I'm not ready to sell him, but I understand that if you're not in the situation to use him, you should absolutely get every penny you can out of him.
Yeah, and I'd agree there too. I think situation, you know, team situation will play a huge part in that. If I'm competing and I have a solid quarterback, I'm not moving him for the 102.
Yeah.
But if I'm in the middle of the pack somewhere, I'm probably moving him.
All right, so we are going to talk about my sell high, which is DeAndre Hopkins. I just don't think he has anywhere to go but down. I mean, he's already... I think he beat... No, he didn't beat... Did he beat out OBJ for one-on-one at one point over the offseason?
Yeah, the last several months, he was just ahead.
And that's really just because Odell hasn't played, and there was just... Everything went DeAndre Hopkins' way this year. And
especially when his quarterback was hurt 7 games into the season.
But he still caught touch. I was just listening. If you guys don't listen to the Late Round podcast with JJ Zacharyson,
it's fantastic.
You guys are missing out. First of all, it's like 15 minutes long, which is amazing because I listen to so many podcasts that to have a nice short one is awesome, especially with the amount of information he gives you. Shout out. He was talking about touchdown rates against yards, where Nuke scored about 4 extra touchdowns than he should have. And also on a 33% market share, which is insane. And anybody who's ever had over a 30% market share never came close to it the next year. So I think this is the best you're going to get. And the fact is, you can sell the fact that he didn't have Deshaun Watson for the whole season. And that's what he did. So you're like, oh, were you going to get a whole season with him and Deshaun? You should, you know, you can ask for anything. It's almost like asking for, say, you know, trying to get the Saquon trade. You could just get whatever you ask for. I think you can get anything you ask for Nuke. And if I had him, which I do in one in a league where people just don't want to pay for players, but I think you can get anything you want for him. And if you can get some nice solid studs back in return. Like, I don't think he's 25 ish. So it's not like you should be selling him.
He's 25.
Yeah, even if you're rebuilding, you shouldn't just be selling him to sell him because he's young and you should build around him. But like, say he's the only asset on your team and you need somewhere to start rebuilding, you could easily get, what, 4 first valuation for him? And I don't think that's ridiculous at all.
Tyreek, Brandon Cooks, and 2 firsts.
Oh, yeah, you did this. Easily, yeah.
For Nuke and Watkins in a second.
Yeah.
Was that was the deal we talked about last week.
Yeah, we talked and we broke it down to Tyreek and 2 firsts for Nuke. And we were all on the Nuke side. And Tyreek has, what, like a 102-ish valuation? A little less, I think. So even still, it's the 103 and 2 future firsts. And we still want Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you should be able to get more. So if you have to, or you can, go do that.
If you can.
Well, yeah, obviously.
It's going to be, I'll tell you what, it's going to be hard selling them for all those, though.
You think so? I think people are willing to sell the farm for a young stud wide receiver.
I haven't been able to sell Nuke for the farm yet.
Well, it's because you won't sell them to me cheap.
That's not the farm.
It's a very small farm.
I don't want your pathetic cow. I want the whole farm.
Well, you know, hopefully you deal with better people than me, apparently, because.
Well, there's other guys in the league sending me offers just as bad.
Okay, so I'm not the worst. So I'm fine with that. I'll accept that as long as I'm not the worst out there. Okay.
Yeah, I can definitely see your point with this one, Outhouse. You know, he we're talking about a top 2 dynasty asset right now, essentially. So
a top 3 should, regardless, because if people are weird and want to put Gurley in there, but wrong. So whatever. Keep going.
So yeah, no, I mean I can understand where you're coming from on this one. I'm a huge Nuke fan, so it would take what you're talking about to get me to move him. But if I got an offer like that, you know, I would certainly consider it. And you know, like you said, if he's your only asset and you can flip him for a huge haul, then this makes sense to me. So,
and this is I brought him up on one of our podcasts that I can never remember when we do things anymore. That he was a guy where another owner was like, "No, DeAndre Hopkins is going to retire on my team," and that made me just want to throw more at him. So, like that's what makes me think that you can just there's just some people that are silly like me that you could just get so much out of a player like this, especially if they're hashtag team big wide receiver, because like DeAndre Hopkins is the big wide receiver of the league right now. So I say sell hard and sell for a lot. Davante Adams is a sell for Brian.
Yep. Abso-freaking-lutely, he's a sell.
You're such a, you know, I'm going to make a soundboard and drop a haters going to hate Taylor Swift on you right now. So what? The guy hasn't caught for 1,000 yards. He has Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Yeah, speechless. That's what I thought.
So would you like to take a look at how Mr. Jordy Nelson has done with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback?
Walk us down this
path. Would you like to take a look at Randall Cobb's year with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback? Because Davante Adams hasn't come even close to either one of those guys. And you may be sitting there saying he hasn't had the opportunity. Well, that's not true either. Because last year he had the opportunity, at least for a couple games. Now, again, for me, this one goes more to where he's being valued currently than it does to Adam's talent level or his situation. I think this is probably the year that he passes 1,000 yards and gets maybe into the 80s in catches or something like that. Obviously, what's made him so valuable is his red zone stuff, because he's caught a ton of touchdowns, double digit touchdowns in back-to-back seasons. So I mean it makes complete sense. You know, the argument for Adams makes complete sense, but for crying out loud, we're talking about an early second round pick here in startups, and I think that's way too early. I just don't see it. There's other guys that I'd rather have. I mean, we're talking about him going around Keenan Allen. That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, that's not even close to me. Julio, ahead of Julio, he's 4 years younger. I get it. He plays with Aaron Rodgers. I get that too. He's had the big seasons the last 2 years, and he's still finished behind Julio Jones in his horrible seasons that everybody keeps talking about. 14 and like 5 touchdowns, and he still scores more points than Devontae Adams. So I just don't, you know, for me, I just there are other players, other elite players that are being drafted well behind him that I would, you know, that I would rather own. I'd rather own Amari Cooper than him. Call me crazy, but I'd rather own Amari Cooper than Devontae Adams.
I think that's not crazy. All right, hold on. I bought... All right, this is funny. I put this on Twitter today. In a 10-team league, I bought Devontae Adams for Sterling Shepard, the 105, and the 201. So there's a compensatory pick in there. So that's the 12th pick, the 5th pick, and Sterling Shepard for Devontae Adams. Is that enough for you to sell him?
No, I would buy him for that, but I'd flip his butt immediately. I'd flip him immediately for any of these other dudes. I would buy him for that. I would buy him for that. I'm not a big Shepard fan either. I think he's the fourth best option at best in that offense now.
Yeah, he went to a bad spot. He's a good player that could have been a very solid number two, except he's now on a team with Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, and Evan Engram.
Correct. So I'm with you. I mean, it's not that I don't like Shepard. I hate the situation. It's disgusting now, especially.
Okay. So it would take more than the top pick of a 105 for you to get rid of Adams.
105 and Superflex. So we're talking about, let me think. So we're talking about either one of the two. I would say if that pick was the 104, I would probably move him for it.
So you'd take any of the big three quarterbacks. As the first
I'd take Barkley, Geis, and either of the top two quarterbacks, Baker and Josh Rosen, over. I mean, with Shepard and
The other guys. Yeah, just saying as the top picks, pick, as the top piece, that would make it enough for you.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I could see. And again, when we're talking about selling these big guys, usually it's. Especially when the way we have to talk about it on this show is just in pick value, because to talk in specific players doesn't always help anybody, because if you don't know how to value that player, then you're just lost. So that's why we're always saying, you know, what first round pick, then you try and figure out who you value at those picks. And that's how you sort of work these trades out in your minds. Now that I'm telling you how to think.
Steven, what do you think about Adams? Do you have a feel either way there?
I think I'd sell Adams for that, for the, what was it, the 104 and Shepard plus, whatever it was.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I think I'd sell him for that.
Yeah, see, I bought him and thought I was getting a good deal.
I don't think it's a bad, I don't think it's a bad deal. And like I said, it makes, I mean, value-wise, it's close, I think. But I would definitely, me, I would... Anywhere I'm getting Adams in, I'm trying to get him back out because he's so – we're talking about like top 15 overall in startups.
Yeah, I mean I
– And I just can't see – I mean he hasn't – why – let me ask this question. There's a similar guy sitting out there who's younger in maybe not a better situation. I don't think better, but a good situation. And that's Stephon Diggs. Same thing. Never had a 1,000-yard season. Catches some big touchdowns. Showed some potential.
Well, I think it's
he's going two rounds later almost.
Yeah, but if Diggs played 16 games for 2 years in a row, and we would extrapolate his stats out for that, don't you think he'd be going higher anyway? So I feel like that's what's holding Diggs down in general.
Maybe, but Adams hasn't played 16 games. He's only played 16 games twice in 4 years. And he has 3 concussions, too. And they've been pretty nasty concussions. So that's another aspect for me is his health. I mean, he gets hit one time going across the middle, his career's over.
I don't like it when you use facts against me.
He's almost Jordan Reed.
That hit he took on, I think it's Monday Night Football against Chicago. Ooh. Danny Trevathan. I mean, that was one of the nastiest hits I've ever seen.
Yes.
I mean, I thought he was dead. I really did. I thought he died. I mean, that was a nasty hit. Helmet to helmet. I mean, just nasty. And, you know, that was not his first one. So, you know, it's definitely concerning. I think he's really talented, and I like him. He seems like a good kid. I mean, he seems like a good guy. Easy to root for. You know, catches a lot of touchdowns. Fits in Green Bay real well. I just where he's being drafted to me is just, it's too high for my liking. So that's why I'm saying sell high if you own the guy.
All right. Well, I mean, to be able to have been sold high means they have to be good. So again, we're sitting here talking like these players. We're not saying these players are bad because they are all good at what they do. Just
absolutely
perceived value can be higher than production value. And that's pretty much when you have to capitalize. All right. So that's all we have for wide receivers. We are on to the redheaded stepchild of positions for fantasy football. Sorry, all redheaded stepchildren listening to the show. Tight ends. Buy low. Ooh, I like this.
Love the tight end.
What?
I love
you don't love tight ends. You just love premiums, and tight ends have the, you know, most obvious premium these days. Now, if you guys clearly don't know much, these moist leagues are going to be every premium you could ever imagine thrown into one league, which is horrifying and amazing to look at. He showed me one of his leagues, and it's just like, everybody is valuable. It's awesome. He keeps messing with me, saying that there's going to be more trades in his league than there is in mine, and I send a lot of angry face emojis, but it makes it possible because it makes everybody worth something, and really that's sort of the point of all of these premiums. So once these guys get their stuff up and running, you should definitely check them out because I think they have some great ideas. So let's talk about Charles Clay because I think this is actually a good call.
Yes, Charles Clay. I mean, what other tight end do they got? They've got young quarterbacks that are going to be throwing to Kelvin Benjamin and Charles Clay.
Is there anyone else on the team to catch the ball? And let's face it, Kelvin Benjamin's not good at catching the ball.
Yeah, well, if Zay Jones isn't tripping or...
I mean, whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, dude.
Windows and shit.
Hey, that thing he did on the sideline last year, though, dude. I tried that a couple times. It doesn't work. I don't know how
that's magic. That's what that is.
I've tried it a couple times. It didn't work out the way that it worked out for him. So
I'd break my legs. All right, Charles Clay. Yep.
Yeah, I like him. I like this too. I think he's gonna get volume. Again, just like what Steven said, I mean, who else are they going to throw the ball to? I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, I guess. Yay. You excited about that? I mean, no, I haven't been excited about Kelvin Benjamin since his rookie season. So, you know, and Carolina wasn't all that excited about him either. They shipped him out. So, So for me, I mean, that's a good one. I think Clay, you know, he's not a guy that costs a whole lot right now, I don't think, and in this format with the tight end premium, I think he's a guy that you can probably get for a later pick somewhere, and I'd do that for sure.
Steven, what would you send out in offers for Charles Clay right now?
I think you can get him for a late second in tight end premium.
Yeah, I mean,
probably even an early third.
Yeah, I've been drafting him a lot, and because I always forget to draft tight ends, so I have to draft a bunch at the end of the draft. And Clay always ends up being not a throw-in of value, but pretty much like, I just need a tight end, so why don't you give me Clay? Which means if you actually are aiming for Clay, which you could do that smooth move of what I just said, why don't you just throw me a tight end because it's tight end premium? You know, going after Clay in as sort of a secondary piece to a deal would probably get you him cheaper than if you were to send a late second, because it's a tight end premium and people overvalue tight ends in my brain. But still, that's what the valuation you should be able to give for him, and you should be able to get him. And if he could stay healthy, I think that will pay off exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to say this. My buy low is Eric Ebron. And like, I feel like I hear people booing and hissing in my head because everybody hates Eric Ebron.
That's bold, Cotton.
There you go. Hey, fourth quarter, you can't hold anything back. So I think the Colts brought Eric Ebron in to be the guy there. I think Jack Doyle was out of necessity. I don't necessarily think he's good. I think that Andrew Luck likes throwing to tight ends. And I think Eric Ebron is good. He's talented. He's athletic. He was coming on real good at the end of last year when he finally, I don't know if he just got his crap together in his brain or what it was, but he was doing really well at the end of last year. And if he's in an offense that actually likes throwing to the tight end as opposed to the Lions, I think he can be the guy. I don't think he's going to be a top three tight end or anything, but Eric Ebron, you don't have to pay top 10 tight end prices. So same thing. I'm throwing end of the second round valuation out to see if I can get Eric Ebron, because chances are someone has him and has a sour taste in their mouth because he was all hyped up last year and didn't do anything. So I don't care how many people hate him. Eric Ebron is my buy low.
The guy is only 24 and he's been in the league for what, 4 years now? Yeah. I mean.
And what, tight end age of breakout is usually, or prime age is like 27. So he's got plenty of time, yeah. And he's now going again. Assuming Andrew Luck comes back and that offense becomes what it always could be because they actually started drafting linemen, then I think he's going to ball because there's no one else to catch the ball besides T.Y. Hilton.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I don't hate this one
either.
I think this is a pretty good one.
All right, so here's a funny one to hear as a buy low, Brian.
Yeah, so my buy low is Rob Gronkowski. and for me, this one is just because I think there are a lot of people out there that are questioning his future.
I think Gronk is questioning his future.
I think Gronk, he very well may be. He also could be playing games for a new contract. And I think there was some stuff actually that came out today about that. So look, Gronk is – we're talking about an all-time great at the position, and especially when we're talking about fantasy numbers. I mean, this guy is just – an absolute stud. He struggled with health, but when he is healthy, there is no question that he's the best tight end in the game. It's not even close. We're talking about the other tight ends in the game. What are the nickname? What's Kelsey's nickname? Baby Gronk. He's the standard. He is getting a little bit older. He's 29 years old now. He has a significant injury history. But when this guy's on the field and healthy, man, if he's 75%, Gronk's better than most. And I think that if you can get him at a discount in price, I think you can right now. I think people are scared off about the retirement talk and what's going on with him and Brady and Belichick and all that garbage in that love triangle. So I think this is the time to buy him. I think a lot of people think he's about done, and you can get him for a significant discount. So if you can, I'd say go get him.
I think you could actually get him for one first, which to me is a discount already, because he was the one tight end that was always worth paying for.
Absolutely.
That's insane to hear.
Yeah, especially because there's certain players that you have to think about in a certain way. It was like with Gronk, he's probably not going to play all 16 games, but if you can get 12 out of Gronk, he could still win you the league. That's how good he is at a tight end position that is a dumpster fire otherwise, besides, what, three guys? So, yep. I mean, yeah, 100%. If you can get Gronk, we're talking tight end premium, but if you can get Gronk for a first that isn't Saquon, I mean, I would... Just about to say, I have to come up with a new phrase besides do it in a heartbeat, either that or make that my catchphrase, because that's all I keep saying. I would easily do that. How about that? Yeah, I agree. I would buy Gronk very easily.
And so here's the deal, too. When we're talking about Gronkowski, right? So he has played 16 games. He has not played 16 games in a season since his second year in the league, which was 2011.
I didn't even realize that.
Okay. So the last 6 seasons, he's played 11, 7, 15, 15, 8, and 14. Here are his finishes for those seasons. 5, 18, 1, 1, 26, and 2. So 4 top 5 finishes at the position and 2 outliers where he missed Over half a season in 2013 and exactly half the season in 2016. So there you go.
As long as he plays half the season, you're getting a top 10 tight end.
I mean, the guy's just a beast. So how many more years can he do it? I don't know. But if you can get him at a discounted price, especially in tight end premium, I think now's the time to buy him.
Yeah, I kind of brought it up with AJ Green. I feel like Gronk is one of those guys I'd be okay letting him ride into the sunset on my roster just because when he does like points per game, Gronk is always tight end one. That's just what he does. So if you can, as long as you can get those 12, 14 games, I would not let him off my roster. Again, unless craziness came my way. But I would easily still, at this point, even though he's talking about being the next big action star, I would absolutely buy him for a first. Okay, that is all of our buy lows. Let's get to some sell high tight ends. And I agree with Steven when he says you should be selling Evan Engram.
Now, this isn't to say that I don't like him, because I do, but I mean, they got OBJ back. Barkley's there now. He's going to lose targets.
Yeah, and
he's due for some serious regression.
Let's not mention his his horrific catch rate is probably also a little anomalous, because he shouldn't be getting those targets, and he was probably force-fed them when they shouldn't have been thrown to him. So I won't completely keep him at fault for how he had, like, a, what, 50-something percent catch rate, I think it was, which is awful. And I think in a normal year with a normal team around him, it would be better than that. But his targets are going to take such a dip that I think if you can get someone to buy him for what they thought he did last year, I think that's a brilliant move.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on this one. I like Engram. I think he's talented. But, you know, there's a lot of touches to go around in this offense. He was the only game in town last year. And I agree. I think he's due for a regression. We'll see what happens. I mean, I do think he is a top tier tight end. Maybe not top tier. I guess he's in that second tier of tight ends. He's young and you know, he's still going to get targets, even though he's probably not going to get as many. He's still going to, you know, he'll still get targets in an offense, but I just don't see him ever having the value that he has currently. Especially with the other offensive weapons in that system. So,
all right. So, see, this one's tough for me because I don't like paying for tight ends. What would it take, Steven, for you to sell Evan Engram right now?
Probably an early first.
So my valuation for like every top end tight end is the 104, just because that's, for some reason, paying a top three tight end is just out of my brain. So if someone offers you the 104 for Evan Engram right now in this draft, would you take it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I think, yeah.
All right, well, that was easy. Okay, so we're going to talk about tight end premium gold right now, and we're going to talk about George Kittle. This man has done next to nothing in the NFL, but for some reason, you cannot buy him for the life of you. And I'm one of the reasons that this happens. It took me trying to buy, I think it was Mike Evans, for to be like, you know what, fine, I'll put George Kittle into this deal. Like, that's how hard it was for me, that I needed to be getting some super stud in order just to let him leave my roster. Actually, it was Devontae Adams. I'll put that out there. And then I moved Devontae Adams for Mike Evans. So I did what you wanted, Brian. I got him on my team, and then I flipped him right away.
Yeah.
So George Kittle, who...
Flip, don't flop.
Ooh, there you go. We'll make T-shirts with that on it. George Kittle, for I think no reason whatsoever, has first-round value to him. And I think that's insane, and I think I would take... Seriously, I would take that in a heartbeat. This is the worst. Please keep listening to the show, even though I'm very not creative. I would take a first for Kittle... A current first for Kittle pretty easily, because I've had future firsts where I said, because I don't play that. Well, my future first is going to be early game, because who knows what next year is going to be. But I think if you offer me 107 this year, I would, you know, hurt my thumb hitting the accept button.
Burst into flames?
I
Yeah, I would sell Kittle for any first.
But I think there's a lot of people willing to pay that. The fact that we're so easily saying that we would do it doesn't even reflect on his value. People are, for some reason, it's the Jimmy GQ connection. People are just, you know, they think that good lookingness is going to rub off on Kittle, though I don't.
Yeah, it's the sexy
pick. Yeah, right? And right. Don't get me wrong, I don't know what George Kittle looks like, but, you know, being on the same field as Jimmy GQ automatically makes him handsomer. So,
right.
So to me, everybody, like, if in a tight end premium league, I feel like everyone wants George Kittle on their team. And for some reason, the person who has him usually doesn't want to sell him. But if you can, like, you play with a dude, play hard to get. Like, they'll come in, they'll say, why don't you add Kittle to the deal? You'd be like, no, man, I'm not adding Kittle. He's not an add-on. He's a player. And then they start offering for Kittle. I've seen that happen, and it can get ugly for the seller, pretty for the buyer. So I would start dangling that out there in your leagues to see if you have a crazy person out there, because every league has one of them. And that stupid joke, if
there's always one.
If you don't know who the crazy person is, it's you. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, I already know I'm the crazy person.
Well, yeah, we all know you're the crazy person. All right, so let's hit up our last tight end. And, I mean, this is the next obvious person because there's not many high-end tight ends to talk about right now. So why are we selling Zach Ertz, Brian?
Yeah, so I wrote Zach Ertz down on this sheet. And I'm having a hard time looking at it. I don't know why I did that, to be completely honest. The argument that I was going to make for Zach Ertz was the drafting of Dallas Goedert in that offense and the possible injury situation around Carson Wentz, which I'm not really that concerned about, to be honest. So I'm going a different direction and throwing a curveball here.
Very good, because this one fell pretty flat.
Yeah, so Ertz, I mean, I'd go buy Ertz. I mean, Ertz is a beast. Are you serious? And that's ridiculous. I don't know what I was thinking with that one, but I was going to try to be real cool and make an argument for it. And I'm sitting here looking at his name and looking at a few stats and stuff, and I don't know what the heck I was thinking. So let's go with Jimmy Graham.
All right.
In this one. And I think for me with Graham, you know, I mean, this is a guy that has been just an absolute stud over his career. He's been a top two tight end in the league in 5 seasons. He's been the number one tight end in 2 of those. And even the last couple of years in Seattle, you know, he had the injury where the kneecap dislocated and whatnot when he first went up there, and that was a pretty nasty injury. But since coming back, he's been the tight end 4 and the tight end 6 up there in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of that has to do with touchdowns. Guy catches a lot of TDs in the red zone and did that in Seattle. I don't know what his role is going to be in Green Bay. Historically, Aaron Rodgers isn't a big tight end guy. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him. I have heard a little bit that they may not use him in a traditional tight end role. He may be split out wide some or used in a slot. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But I just can't see at 31, I believe he's 31 this year. He'll be 32 during the season. Good news is he has an elite quarterback, but he's had an elite quarterback in Seattle as well. So I just don't know that his production is going to go up. So sell him now while he still has some value. I don't think it's going to go up much if it does at all. So for me, Graham's a sell. And go buy Zach Ertz. This dude's a stud. And he's good looking. And he has a wife that's good looking. And she's a national team soccer player. So go USA.
Oh, that was. Did you see the video of her finding out he made it into the Super Bowl? The Eagles made it to the Super Bowl on the sideline of her game?
I did. Didn't she like. She like.
Yeah, it was a very sweet video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good stuff. That's a good feel good story. And Ertz is a good dude. And just a stud player. I mean, this guy over the last, I mean, he's pretty consistent. He's been like over 700 yards receiving in each of his 5 years in the league, I believe. four of the 5 years.
But that's not who we're talking about right now. We're talking about Jimmy Graham.
No, yeah, so yeah. You're right, Jimmy Graham. Yes, Jimmy Graham.
He keeps going back to Earth, so.
Jimmy Graham, he's magnetic now. Yeah, no, Jimmy Graham is a sell high right now.
Yeah, I agree, so. And it goes back to the two easy arguments. He is not who he used to be. But the dude can catch touchdowns because he's a former basketball player, so he can box people out, you know, boring sideline color commentary. But he can. He's very, very good at contested catches, and that's what he did in, I almost said Green Bay, but that's where he is now. That's what he did in Seattle. He caught touchdowns. He caught very few third and shorts. He wasn't used very much, and I don't think he's going to be used very much in Green Bay because Green Bay doesn't use the tight end. I mean, we keep going back to, well, JerMichael Finley 10 years ago was a great tight end for Aaron Rodgers. I think by now we can call that the anomaly. I think by now we can say Green Bay doesn't use a tight end, and that's just the way it is. I think it's a pipe dream to think that they're going to change now. And yeah, that's why I think you should be selling, honestly, like, does it take even a first to make you want to sell Jimmy Graham? Like, would you sell him for a high two this year?
I probably would, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I mean, I
want a first, but...
But yeah, like, I don't even... That's the thing. Like, it's not... You're not selling low, because selling low for Jimmy Graham for a not useful tight end is not selling at all, because tight ends are difficult to sell in the first place. So I think getting... You should... Take the 202 and be thrilled about it. To me, again, it's all relative. It doesn't need to be three firsts to be selling high. Because, again, his value is not going to get higher, I don't believe. And Brian doesn't believe, and I'm going to speak for Steven and say he doesn't believe either. So, yeah, I would take that 202 and run and be happy about it and trade that for Alex Collins.
Well, that's a pretty good deal, right? Jimmy Graham for Alex Collins.
There you go. That's a buy low and a sell high. That's how we bring this show together. It's a circle. It's like a carousel. It goes round and round, up and down. A lot of movie references in this one. I like this show. All right. So that is all of the fantasy relevant positions, because kickers and defenses are not fantasy relevant. They should not be in your fantasy leagues. So there. Steven, are you good to hang around for some trade talks, or do you need to go to bed because we've been recording for 2 hours?
Yeah, I need to get off here. It's time for me to get to
bed. All right. Well, thank you, Steven. It's been awesome having you around. Chef Steve, let them, again, know where they can find you and what you do with your time.
Well, I don't do a whole lot with my time. No, I'm just kidding.
Your fantasy time, the time they care about.
At SR Stull Jr. That's SRSTULLJR. And we are trying to start the Moist Dynasty Fantasy Football website and podcast. Hopefully by the other end of the summer, we'll have that going.
Yeah, check them out. All very good dudes. At this point, it's the beginning of last episode where he listed all of his companions. You should follow all of them. Also good dudes. Lots of good trade talks we have on Twitter. So, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for talking with us. And I'll talk to you later, man.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
All right, and now we're going to talk some Trade Addicts trades. As always, Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. First trade we have is from Trade Addicts 3. This is actually a culmination of one day, three trades, a whole lot of something. But I pulled off a hat trick. I was pretty excited about it. And I used a hockey term, so I feel like you should be excited about that.
Very excited about that.
All right. So the grand picture of this was I traded away Mike Evans, Kenny Stills, and Jared Goff, and I got back Marcus Mariota, Stephon Diggs, Albert Wilson, Derrick Henry, and Marlon Mack. Now, the real reason I wanted to bring this up, first of all, is because we don't always have quarterback trades to talk about, and this has quarterbacks in it.
Mm-hmm.
I am a big believer in blanket offers. If you are A, bored, or B, you have a guy you want off of your team for any reason whatsoever, there is no harm in just offering that guy to everyone in your league.
Mm-hmm.
But let me be a cautionary tale for all of you lovely listeners out there. Even though you're offering it to everyone, pay attention to what you're clicking. Because you might just be sort of staring at the computer, clicking sides, clicking buttons. Just remember, these guys can hit the accept button and you're kind of stuck unless you're a jerk about it. My first trade was Mike Evans for Marcus Mariota, Albert Wilson, and Marlon Mack. When I saw that, first of all, that got accepted very fast. And when it did get accepted, I was like, wait, what? I don't remember hitting those buttons. Because, yeah, let's just say I'm not going to pull up the percentages, but I lost that Twitter poll. And everyone in the chat room gave me crap about it. And all rightfully so. That was not a great trade on my part. So pay attention to what you click. The clicks matter.
Yeah, I definitely was scratching a little on that one. I mean, I know I also am aware of your Marcus Mariota love,
which is where you went right away. You're like, dude, yeah. I know you love Mariota,
but right. Yeah. I mean, I knew, you know, I know how you feel about him as far as the new offense and the weaponry there, and his breakout coming and all of that. But I definitely took the Evans side on that one. I like a couple. I mean, I even like the other pieces you got with them. I like Mac, and Wilson is kind of a sneaky guy, right now. So, but yeah, I definitely leaned Evans on that particular deal. I'll let you get into the rest of these so that we can talk about the cumulative effect of these trades. But you were battling from behind.
Oh yes, I was trying to create a comeback on this one. My next trade was Jared Goff and Kenny Stills for Stephon Diggs and Hunter Henry, which
right.
I felt. I actually struggled a little bit because, again, I'm still not great with quarterbacks and super flex values because there's such a large group of people that are like, anytime there's a starting quarterback, they're like, no, give me that side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there has to be an actual value to these people. And to me, Stephon Diggs sort of equals Goff. Their ADP is pretty similar, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, you tell me if I'm right or not.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty accurate. I would have Goff somewhere in the 103-104 range. So
yeah, and to me that's pretty, and Diggs that's kind
is
of
about
Diggs is too.
Right, exactly. So yeah, I mean I think that's pretty even for those two players. And then Stills and Hunter Henry, you know. I mean, obviously, pre-injury, I think I'd probably lean the Henry side, personally.
Even post-injury, especially, I'd still lean the Henry side.
Especially in tight end premium. So, but yeah, no, I think that deal was very close for me. You know, I would have a hard time, I think, giving up a player like Goff in a super flex league, but I do think the value is right.
And so. I also have Carson Wentz. I sort of did this a little bit on purpose. I knew I was trading Evans for a quarterback so I could trade Goff for a non-quarterback. Right. Just because the guys in my league that needed a quarterback either just didn't want to pay for Goff in a sort of quarterback for a lesser quarterback plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that kind of trade wasn't going to work. So I knew I was going to have to find a way to trade just Goff for a player. So I knew I had to go out and get another quarterback for my team because I need two starting quarterbacks. So this was sort of planned. It just didn't exactly go according to plan. And then right after I did that trade, I got an offer that came in for Derrick Henry for Hunter Henry. Because this guy has been trying to get rid of Derrick Henry for weeks, it seems. This guy's team has name a rookie running back.
Royce Freeman.
Yeah, he's on that guy's team. Name another rookie running back. Yeah, he's on that guy's team. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, like, this guy has 18 quarterbacks on his team, and he values everyone above Derrick Henry, so he's been trying to get rid of him, but while still valuing Henry way above what he should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew he was getting desperate, and he was also trying to hoard tight ends as well as running backs, so I knew there was a chance I'd be able to pull off something with these guys involved. I had no idea how desperate he was to send me Henry for Henry. Like, that was maybe one of the quickest snap accepts I've ever done.
Yeah, I'm not even that big of a Derrick Henry fan, and I would have probably taken that one very quickly. So, yeah, I think definitely you won that one as far as value goes, and that certainly helps, I think, in the overall. You know, when I'm looking at your cumulative Evans, Goff, and Stills were the guys that you sent out, mm-hmm. and you had Mariota, Diggs, Derrick Henry, Mack, and Wilson back. I mean, that definitely helps. That last trade definitely helps even things out for me.
Yep.
Overall, I think you probably come out value-wise very close to where you were. But it's spread over more players, so you know, you'll be able to plug those guys into different spots in your roster, and so yeah, I'm okay with all of these. I mean, the cumulative I'm okay with. Individually, I definitely didn't care for the Evans deal, but other than that one, I think the other ones were fine, and definitely the Henry for Henry I think worked out in your favor. So
yeah, because that was my goal. My goal was to gain a starter or two, because my team was very condensed talent-wise. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's why my original plan was to trade Goff for a lesser quarterback plus a starter, but I couldn't get anyone to trade me. You know, that's when I started hearing, oh, you know, the only difference between Matt Ryan and Jared Goff is age. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people were just justifying why they wouldn't want to add a real player on top of any quarterback that actually is starting. So right. I knew I had to come at it from a different angle. And again, it just didn't go exactly according to plan, but sort of went where I wanted it to go. Am I happy about all of this? Enough. But, mm-hmm. you know, pay attention to what you're doing. I guess that's really,
sure.
yeah, you know. You guys can learn from my mistakes. How about that?
Hey, all we've right. all made them, man.
Yeah, I have the platform to let all of you know the mistakes I made.
There you go.
All right, so let's go to Trade Addicts 1. This is another me trade. This is Chef Steven. I finally offered him a real offer for Le'Veon Bell.
Chef Steve!
Yep, sup. So, Kirk Cousins. I traded away Evans twice. Kirk Cousins, Mike Evans, and Adam Thielen for
yep.
Matt Ryan, Le'Veon Bell, Eric Ebron, a 19 first, and a 21st and second.
Yeah.
So, woo. Yeah, this...
A lot to digest there.
What was my original offer? I think my
original offer was crap.
No, I sent
because we talked about it. We no. talked about it with Steve.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty much just like feeling in a first for Bell. But
right,
no,
right.
I sent him an offer, and I don't think it included the quarterbacks. I think it may have... It was Evans and something for Bell and Ebron, and he came back at me with this, and I stared at it for a minute or two, and I'm like, you know what? I put him through enough. This is good. I'll take it. I think I made out well. It's hard for me to see those three names leaving my team, even though
sure.
I did call Cousins a sell high, and I did get to sell him, so that makes me feel a little good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me how you feel about this one.
Yeah, so... I'm sitting here looking at it, and I think my initial reaction is I like the side that you gave in this. But I will say this. I think so Adam Thielen, I have loved Adam Thielen the last couple of years. I think he's been the best wide receiver in Minnesota for sure. More so than Stephon Diggs, even though Diggs is worth a lot more in dynasty value typically than Thielen is. Having said that, he is 28 years old. Well, he will be at the start of the season. You know, and I definitely, you know, I saw some stuff. Diggs in the playoffs towards the end of the year. I think he's becoming the wide receiver one in that offense. So, you know, I'm not sure I'm as high on Thielen as I have been over the last year and a half or so. Evans, you know, I'm a huge Mike Evans guy. I think this guy's is talented and being super undervalued right now. I mean, people are – we actually had this – you and I had this discussion today.
Yep.
You know, Evans for me is a top six asset. You know, I think his ADP on a few of the sites is a lot higher than that. You know, more towards the end of the first round as opposed to there in the middle. But, you know, I feel like you know, the arguments that are being made against Mike Evans right now, you know, the other weapons in that offense, Jameis Winston, you know, the uncertainty with, okay, who is this guy really? You know, you could say the same thing about Odell. I mean, we were working on a deal that involved those two players a little bit. And, you know, I think you could say the same thing for Beckham. You know, look at the weapons in that offense now with Saquon coming in and Evan Ingram. Sterling Shepard's not a, you know, I mean, he's a pretty nice player, too. So they have some weapons there as well, just like in Tampa. There's, you know, in Tampa, there's Godwin and there's Brait and there's Hojay Howard and they still have DeSean Jackson. So Ronald Jones has now joined that backfield. So, I mean, there's, you know, to me that it's a similar. A similar situation, yet we have one guy in Beckham who now, you know, he had slipped a little bit. He, for the first time in a long time, he was not the top overall player in ADP, and now he's ascended back to the number one spot, which I know you think that is his rightful place. So
I was already ready to interrupt you with my hashtag always Odell.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and in the opposite direction, I mean, Evans, we're talking about a guy who was a top three dynasty pick last offseason. He didn't have the season many people expected, and now all of a sudden he's outside of the top 10.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
And to me, that's just not, you know, it's a little bit crazy. So, we'll see what happens. Obviously, I mean, the time will tell.
Let's break this down a little bit.
Sure.
What do you think is the difference between Evans and Lev Bell?
I think it's right on.
Yeah, right. They're pretty equal.
Yep.
All right. So, what do you think is the difference between Cousins and Matt Ryan?
I prefer Cousins straight up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's huge though. I know a lot of people, I think on Twitter when they were talking about this, were talking about the distance between those two players. And I think it has more. I mean, so I will say this: Cousins has been really good fantasy wise the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. He's been top six, I think.
Yeah.
In two of the last three, and top 10 in all three of the last three. So. You know, he's been very good. But Matt Ryan, I mean, Matt Ryan didn't have a good year last year.
Nope.
He didn't.
Well, that offense didn't have a good year last year.
Correct. The previous year, he was the MVP.
I traded for Matt Ryan, but I'll still admit that year was a bit of an outlier.
It was, but this guy's pretty he's consistent.
He's good. I mean, that's what it comes down to. He's not great, but he's good.
I would not pay more than a second with him to get Cousins.
Wait, okay, so you would not pay. So you're saying Matt Ryan and a second.
I think Matt Ryan and a second would be what. I mean, that's for me. That's.
All right. So what would you think of Matt Ryan and then 2021st for Cousins?
I'd probably take the Ryan side.
All right. So, but that's.
But it's close. I mean, yeah, that's about right. You know, Ryan in a 19-second, Ryan in a
21st. Yeah, because those values are pretty close, even though the number one gives it a little bit of a boost. All right, so let's go.
So the pieces that are left in this are Ebron and a 19 first for Adam Thielen.
And a 20-22nd. So Ebron, 19 first, 20 second, and four, Adam Thielen.
See, I think that's pretty close too, exactly. especially in tight end premium. So,
and I also called Ebron a buy low because I believe he's going to be the guy there, especially now that we had your video, not your video, but the video you were happy to see of Andrew Luck throwing the ball.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he should definitely be, in the mix at that at the position. I mean, they run some two tight end stuff too. Jack Doyle's going to get his. But
I think he was there. He was the guy out of necessity last year. I don't think he was the guy because he was necessarily good. Now, clearly he's in the NFL, so he's good and better than I would ever be. But
well, and you can't really argue that because when you look at Luck's history, you know, I mean, Doyle did you know, it was Fleener before Doyle, but Dwayne Allen still got his. I mean, Dwayne Allen was the guy that was everybody was really excited about when Andrew Luck was throwing the football. Mm-hmm. So I could see that same thing with Ebron. You know, I mean, I still think Doyle's going to be involved there.
Yeah.
But I see it as the Fleener Allen effect. I think that, you know, Ebron is going to be the Allen, and I think he's much better. I think personally that he's a much better athlete and talent
than
Dwayne
Allen.
Athletic
for sure.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. So, so the potential is there, for Ebron to, you know, even do better things than Allen did in that offense. But, you know, and we'll also see too, the other thing that's interesting is, you know, with the head coaching change there, you know, Reich going in there, and then them signing Ebron, you know, I mean, the things that they did with Zach Ertz in the Eagles offense, you know, where he was the offensive coordinator, I think some of that, you know, I mean, I think Ebron, if he can catch the ball, mm-hmm. because that's what he's kind of struggled with, you know, if he can catch the ball, I think he can be an impact player at that position. So, yeah, I like Ebron as a buy low as well.
Oh man, wait, can we start an Ebron is the next Ertz thing? Can we make that a thing? I'm gonna tweet that right now.
I'm not sure I will retweet that. Okay. But I do think I'm not saying that Ebron is going to be the next Zach Ertz.
Not too late, I'm already tweeting that you said that.
but here's, you know, I mean, he's still a young player. Right? I mean, I think he's, I don't know, he's, how old
Ertz
is he?
I said Ertz. Ebron's like 24, 25.
Yeah, he's 25.
There you go.
So, I mean, there's still time. I, you know what's funny? I just, and
damn,
I Googled.
Tweeted.
I Googled, okay?
Okay.
But it says right here, like there's, at the top of the news feed, it says Colts Frank Reich enamored with Eric Ebron's skill set.
There you go. See?
So he likes. So Eric Ebron expects to play Zach Ertz's role in Frank Reich's offense.
There you go. And I tweeted that before you read that out loud. So there you go.
You know, now look, am I saying that he's going to be the next Zach Ertz? No, I'm not. I mean, Ertz is a super talented player, in my opinion. I've been on Zach Ertz for several years. Ahead of his breakout. I mean, he's been good when people didn't realize he's been good. And then he obviously had the breakout season and is the man now. So, you know, but I can definitely see Ebron taking that next step. I don't know if it's going to be quite Ertz level here, but a tight end one in fantasy. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can see that. You know, and especially if Andrew Luck is healthy. You know, if Andrew Luck is healthy, I mean, T.Y. is getting a little bit older. You know, who's
Ryan Grant?
I was just
Chester Rogers.
You know, Moncrief's gone now. So the other weaponry there isn't exactly, you know, something that you're like, whoa, you know. So, I mean, I can definitely see Ebron playing a big role in that offense, especially if Luck's healthy. So we'll see what happens with all that. But overall, I think this deal is a fair deal. I could make arguments for either side. I mean, obviously, I'm a big Le'Veon guy. I you know, I'm a Steelers fan. I think he's I really think that Le'Veon Bell, you know, the thing that keeps me from putting him in the top three, top four overall dynasty assets It's just the uncertainty around his future and his usage, because he's been – I mean, he's – Pittsburgh runs Le'Veon into the ground every year. I mean, he has 350-some touches every year. So those are the two reasons that he's not in that. Talent-wise, though, and production-wise, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, you can make an argument for him as the number one dynasty asset in all of football, in all of fantasy football. He's a stud.
Talent-wise, he's probably the best running back in the league.
Just a and realistically, I mean, when you're looking at his receiving stats, I mean, yes, I think as a running back running the football, right? Mm-hmm. He's one of the best in the National Football League, maybe the best. And then you put him in a wider, and I mean, he I understand why he wants to get paid the way he wants to get paid. He's an RB one and a wide receiver too. I mean, he outperformed Juju last year. I mean, seriously. I mean, everybody's falling over their nuts on – I don't know if I can say that on this pod.
You
but
just did.
Okay, so, I mean, everybody is just enamored with Juju Smith-Schuster, and I love the guy too, don't get me wrong. Le'Veon Bell's receiving statistics are better than that. I mean, so that's what we're talking about in terms of his receiving value, and that's on top of a guy who's a top three running back in the National Football League. So – you know, I love Le'Veon, you know, and again, the point of all of this is I could make an argument for either side here. I think this is a pretty good trade on both sides.
Yep.
If I was you getting Le'Veon Bell, I'd be stoked.
That was me getting Le'Veon Bell.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about this, when you're looking at this deal and you say, okay, yeah, I gave a lot of pieces, but I got Bell and two firsts, and that's before Matt Ryan and Ebron. So – you know, and a second. So, I mean, I think I definitely see where you were coming from on this deal, and I like that for your side. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, I also like all three of these guys. I like Cousins. I like the weaponry that he has in Minnesota over what he has had in Washington previously. I love Mike Evans. Hopefully have made that clear on the show previously.
We know.
And then Adam Thielen, like I said before too, I really like this guy as well. I'm a little bit concerned about the age and the usage of Diggs and all of that stuff, but still a very nice piece to own. So this deal to me is pretty fair. And I can see arguments on both sides. So it's another good one.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun. And you know, it was nice to actually work this out as opposed to me just trying to lowball him.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, I even messaged him like, all right, we're going to get this done for real now. All right, well, that's the end of these trades. So that's the end of our show. So I'm just going to say goodbye now, Brian.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.